Heather, if you would, just bow our heads as we open the service. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're truly again appreciative. Lord, you're so wonderful to us, your grace. And Lord, what we have to look forward to is, Father, we look into your word and see the promises you've made. And Lord, you promised you'd come back for us. And Father, we truly see the hours far spent. And Lord, how all the prophecies and predictions are, Father, being come to pass or are coming, Lord, and we can see it just on the horizon. Oh, how close your coming is, Lord. Father, may we truly be ready. Father, as the little lady waiting on her husband, Father, just, Lord, want to be prepared and waiting, willing, Lord, soon to go home but be with you. Bless us now, each and every one that's gathered this evening. May you just meet our individual needs, what we have for this evening, and just draw us ever closer to you, Lord. We love you and appreciate you. We ask all this in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Turn with me if you would. I'd like to sing in our capstone books there. Amen. Page 34, I'd like to start on. Amen. Victory ahead. You see the victory, saints? Amen. Victory in our lives.
When the host of Israel, led by God, round the walls of Jericho softly trod, trusting in the Lord, they felt the conqueror's tread. By faith they saw the victory ahead. Victory ahead, oh victory ahead, through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. David with the shepherd's sling and five stones met the giant on the field all alone. Trusting in the Lord, he knew what God had said. By faith he saw that victory ahead. Victory ahead, oh victory, amen. Through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Oh, trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory. Amen. Daniel prayed unto the Lord thrice each day. Then unto the lion's den led the way. Trusting in the Lord, he did not fear or dread. By faith he saw that victory ahead. Oh, victory ahead. Oh, victory ahead. Oh, through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Oh, trusting in the Lord, I hear conqueror's tread. By faith I see that victory. Often with the carnal mind I was tried, asking for deliverance, oft I cried. Trusting in the Lord, I reckoned I was dead. By faith I saw the victory ahead. Oh, victory ahead. Oh, victory ahead. Oh, trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see that victory. Amen. Sing it again. Oh, victory ahead. Oh, victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Oh, trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see that victory ahead.
Amen. Do you really see the victory ahead? Amen. The victory in your lives, even now. Amen. By His grace. Page 91. Let's turn over there. Amen. Just a little while, saints, we'll be able to go home. Amen. Lay His life down.
Soon this life will all be over, and our pilgrimage shall end. Oh, soon we'll take our heavenly journey, be at home again with friends. Heaven's gates are standing open, waiting for our entrance there. Oh, some sweet day we're going over, all the beauties there to share. Oh, just a little while to stay here. Oh, just a little while to wait. Oh, just a little while to labor in the path that's always straight. Oh, just a little more of trouble in this world so full of hate. Oh, then we'll enter heaven's portals, sweeping through the pearly gates. Oh, soon we'll see the light of morning, then the new day will begin. Oh, soon we'll hear the Father calling, come, my children, enter in. Oh, then we'll hear all heaven shouting, singing out the victory song. Oh, all our troubles will be, oh, what a day, hallelujah. And we'll live with heaven's throne. Oh, just a little while to stay here, just a little while to wait. Oh, just a little while to labor in the path that's always straight. Oh, just a little more of trouble in this world so full of pain. Then we'll enter heaven's portals, sweeping through the pearly gate. Oh, soon we'll meet again our loved ones, and we'll take them by the hand. Oh, soon we'll push them to our bosom, over in the promised land. Oh, then we'll be at home for, oh, what a day, hallelujah, throughout all eternity. What a blessed, blessed morning that eternal morn shall be. Oh, just a little while to stay here, just a little while to wait. Oh, just a little while to labor in the path that's always straight. Just a little more of trouble in this world so full of pain. Oh, then we'll enter heaven's portals, sweeping sweeping through the pearly gates.
Amen. Amen. Oh, are you getting excited, saints?
Amen.
Amen. So soon we'll be going home. Oh, yes. Amen. Keep your eye on the goal. Page 369 in our big books there, if you would. I think we all know this by heart. Amen. I'll fly away. Amen.
Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. Oh, to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. Amen. Oh, I'll fly away. Oh, glory. I'll fly away. Oh, when I die, hallelujah, my and mine, I'll fly away.
Sing it again.
I'll fly away. Oh, like a bird from prison bars have flown. I'll fly away.
Been told what he's got for us. Amen. Be able to live throughout eternity. Just amen. Just loving him. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Brother Luke, would you like to come up for the offering? Praise his name. That's the blessing, if you will. Oh, yes, we do. Oh, I want to sing. Hallelujah.
Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. Oh, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Oh, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. And oh, I want to see him look upon his face. Oh, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Oh, cares all past. Oh, hallelujah. And oh, I want to see him look upon his face. Oh, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice.
Amen. Oh, I want to see him. Just look upon his face. Amen. There to sing forever of his saving grace. Oh, hallelujah. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Lift your voice now, saints. Amen. Glorify him and praise him. Amen for what he's done for us. How many have something for him? Need or request? Amen. Amen. Just keep it on your heart. Brother Jim, would you like to take the request this morning?
Lord, such a grand privilege to be here again, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Stand under the Savior's precious hymn, Lord. Lord, get ready to receive that precious word.
Yes, amen.
Lord, we're just asking you to be with us tonight now. Bless each hand and praise. You know the need behind each hand. For the sick and afflicted, Lord, we ask that you just touch them. Touch your other body, Lord.
Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Do you have a song tonight, Karen? Ask if you'd come.
For the coming of the Lord, I don't want nothing to hinder me. I want to live by every word. I'm throwing everything aside. Every day I'm watching for that life. For when he sees the life, I know he'll come and take me home. That day is what I've been waiting for so very long. Come quickly is my plea, for I'm so homesick to see the one who gave his very life and made a way for even me. My soul is crying for that land so bright and fair, a place of perfect peace and rest. Nothing down here can compare. Though my mind can't comprehend it, it's by eyes of faith I see that beautiful city. prepared for you and me. There will be no crying, no more hurting anymore. No disappointments or no worries on that golden shore. No heartaches, no more troubles that we all face in this life. All our trials will be over, no more tears to dim our eyes. What a wonderful time we'll have when we get over there. It's a place of perfect love and peace. What joy we will share in His presence forever and for all eternity. I'm getting ready now to leave. Won't you come and go with me? My soul is crying for that land so bright and fair, a place of perfect peace and rest. Nothing down here can compare, though my mind can't comprehend it. It's by eyes of faith I see that beautiful city He's prepared for you and me. Though my mind can't comprehend it, it's by eyes of faith I see that beautiful city He's prepared for you and me.
Praise His name. Oh, what a day we have coming.
Amen. Let's all stand, if you will, and let's sing a little chorus. Only believe. Ask our brother Tim to come.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe.
Father, we are truly thankful for an opportunity to come and to feel your presence here with us, Lord, and to sing and to worship you and to praise your name. And Lord, as the sisters sang the song, truly how that's the desire of our heart, Lord. And we see it growing greater every day. And Lord, we just pray that you will continue, Lord, to take your word and to search through our hearts and through our lives, Lord, and to mold us into those people that you have us be in this hour. Lord, an image of the invisible God. Lord, conform to the image of your Son. Oh, Lord, that we would be written epistles read of all men. And Lord, we've come tonight hungry, asking you to speak to us. And Lord, we just ask you to take your precious word, and as I read it, Lord, may it somehow help someone along life's journey. And Lord, may it cause us to grow greater in faith in you, we pray, in the lovely, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, don't you love him?
Amen.
Amen. He's so precious. Amen. While you're still standing, if you would, let's turn to 2 Corinthians, if you would, the 6th chapter. Amen. I just didn't really know what to bring this evening, and I was in my study, and And these things kind of come up on my heart out of the blue, so I'm not sure, but I just hope it's not too chopped up, because you could preach a long time on some of these things, but I just felt like it would help someone if we could just look back a little bit this evening. But here in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and start there at the 16th verse. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. May the Lord bless the name of his word, and you may be seated. Amen. These few little things kind of stirred my heart a little bit as I was reading them, thinking about this. And, you know, to all down through God's word, we can see where God always called for a separation. And oftentimes we might look at where we're sitting tonight and wonder, why am I here? Where did I get to here? And as the word comes and we see it trimming down and trimming down, and we see the number dwindling, and the true revelation truly begins to dawn upon your heart of just how few it really will be that's going to make a rapture, and how you can see God maybe has reached down into your life and turned your path, brought you a different route from maybe the way you were headed. Maybe you thought you had life all over here just the way you wanted it, but something down on the inside in God, rich in mercy, some way has pulled you from this direction, pulled you from that direction, separated you from this, separated you from that, and brought you in to all of these. And I was just thinking about that. And let's turn to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, if you would. Read a very familiar scripture concerning Abraham here. I'd like to read a couple scriptures and then just read some stuff the prophet said. But saints, it is a separating age, separating time. And we can see it even at the last day. He said, let them grow together till the last. And then he would separate the wheat from the tares. And oh my, how we see this time taking place. But God always said, come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. And oh my, how you can just begin to see that scripture become magnified and be greater into your heart. Yes. You know, we've lived through man-made separations. And we can truly see where maybe man felt a certain man needed to separate from another man. And maybe the situation got all messed up. But God ain't like that. When God calls for a separation, and he dips something down into the heart of that little elected seed, there isn't a, I got to try to separate, I got to try to do this, try to do that. But there, it might be a separation from drinking. Maybe I need to separate from something in my life. And maybe it's a cell phone we'll use. That's been brought up here recently. Maybe it's a separation from anything God's calling you to separate from. And maybe a human being can get in the middle of that and try to separate you from that thing. It'll never happen. But you let God speak to your heart one time and say, come out from among that thing. And you watch, if it's God speaking to your heart and you truly obey, you watch God make it work right to his glory. Amen. As he called to Abraham here in the 11th chapter in the 8th verse, and it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. And by faith he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And therefore sprang there even one, even as good as dead, to many as the stars of the sky and the multitude, in the sand which is by the seaside innumerable. And I want you to look at that. The promise. God told him to separate. He was going to give him something. And that promise was fulfilled to the letter. They obeyed God to the fullness. And God, his word, what he said would take place, come to pass. Might have been 25 years later, but it still came to pass just the way God promised it when he called out to him. And Abraham here, God spoke to Abraham, lipped a ear. This was before he changed. So I want you to think of that. And then let's turn over here to Exodus real quick and just read another example. Amen. Exodus, the third chapter. And amen. I hope it don't sound like I'm jumping all over, but just, amen, just let the word gel together a little bit. Amen. Amen. Exodus, the third chapter, the first verse. And now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire and out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight and why this bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, but put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou stand is holy ground. And moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them. Amen. But you didn't think about that. God, as our brother, keep in mind the things Brother Elon has been bringing about how God was speaking through a man's lips in this day. And it's the same thing. I want you to watch that as he says there. He says, But I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good land and a large and unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And unto a place that the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And now therefore behold the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. I want you to look at how God works. On every end, God said, I've come down. He didn't just come down there, and it wasn't just Moses that went down to Egypt. But he said, I have come down, and I'm going to send you. And I want you to look at how God used that. And here we stand today, but Moses, look at how he was separated from all of his brethren. Sent out there into the wilderness. He had to give up a lot. He gave up all of the life of Egypt. And I want you to think of Abraham, all that he gave up and how he separated himself, but to follow what God wants. And they both walked in a lonely land, walked in lonely times. Maybe didn't have a ton of fellowship. They were kind of exiled, so to speak, from everyone. But God had given both a promise at that point. And oh my, God always delivers when he makes a promise. And oh my, how God has made us promises in this age. But I'd like to start here now in the message, God's Word Calls for a Total Separation from Unbelief, January 24th, 1964. It's on page 8, paragraph 59. But when a man is born in this world for a believer, he becomes a Nazarite when he separates himself from anything that's contrary to the Word. A total separation. Jesus said, I come to separate a man from his wife, tear up a family, and he that won't take up his cross and follow me is not worthy to be called mine. A separation from everything and anything, from church, from a community, from a belief, or from a family, or anything that would stand between you and believing the entire word of God. Amen. If your soul will not punctuate every promise for this hour with an amen, there is something wrong somewhere. You need a separation. And I want you to think about that. God's calling a people, a peculiar people, his people, a chosen generation, not a group of a building, but individuals he called. And that people, he told them, he spoke to their heart and said, separate yourself. And he placed a love down on the inside of them that they wouldn't have to force themselves. But the word alone came to them, and he was on the inside revealing that word, and that with a love in their heart, they began to separate from all these things that would hinder them and stand in their way of being exactly what they saw they needed to be. You know, think of Abraham. When God called him, he separated himself. He didn't wait. He took all and separated, and him and Lot started out, and that worked for a little bit. He tried to walk along for a little while with someone else, but God had told him to separate, and there came a separation there till he stood alone. But it was him and God delivered the promise that he had promised him. Amen. Just think on it there, and then we go over here, page 9. It's a separation always. The word requires a total and complete separation regardless, Jesus said. Let every man's word be a lie and let mine be true. And all down through the ages, the same thing has happened. Separating always. He separates his people from unbelief. He did it at the beginning, and he does it the same today. Each one of the prophets was separated from unbelief, and that's the reason they did that, is because the word of the Lord came to them. And I believe in a night somewhere, perhaps where... Let me drop down just 66. Now, separation, it separated Isaiah from the church world. And it separated Moses from the church world. It separated all the great prophets through the ages from the church world because they... And it separated Jesus from his brethren. It separated the apostles from the church that was at that day. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, great men, holy men, good men, fine men, humble men. Men that had fruit of the Spirit more so than Jesus, than what Jesus exercised. But what was his credentials? The word was with him, and the word promised for that day was living through him. And he said, which one of you can condemn me of sin? Say that I have claimed, which one of you can say that what I have claimed hasn't happened? Therefore he showed that he was a separated Nazarite of the Lord, and he was the Lord himself in flesh. And Abraham also, he was a separated person from the world when God called Abraham at 75 and said, separate yourself from your kindred, from all unbelief, and come into a world that you've never walked in before, amongst a people that you've never known before. Come out and separate yourself from anybody that would be contrary to what you're believing. That you would be a Nazarite unto the Lord, because he was holding a promise of a son. And he had to separate from his father and his mother and from his kindred. And what separated him? Not because he was a good man, but because he believed that God was able to keep the promise he had given him. And just think of that, saints. We've been given a promise in this age that he would have a bride that would not fall. She would be conformed to his image, made, and would inherit a city that was going to come. And there was going to be a rapture that would come and catch that bride away. All of these wonderful promises. Oh my. And he says, but God was able to keep the promise that he had given. And when he was 25 years later, the baby had never come. And Sarah being 90, he 100. And the angel of the Lord visited him, that Jesus referred to, that the world would come again, and almost being 100 in a tent behind him, laughed because the angel said, I will visit you according to the time of promise. And she said, me being old and having pleasure again with my Lord, and this man was God in flesh. Why did Sarah laugh in the tent? And she ran and tried to deny it, but he said, yes, but you did laugh, because she didn't believe it couldn't be right. But notice, Jesus said that would come again, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Again, the Spirit of God will come upon mortal human flesh, and that man that eat meat of a calf, drinking milk of the cow, and eat butter and bread in human flesh. And Abraham said he was Elohim, God manifested in flesh. Jesus promised that God, before his coming, would manifest again in human flesh again. And that's the Holy Spirit. There's only one God manifesting himself, separating himself again, Lot from Abraham. And I want you to think of that. And he says, all these believers, we could go on for hours about how much time they had to separate and pull themselves away. But I want you to think of where you're placed tonight in this age in which we're living. And we see the separation taking place. And it's not because you don't love people. It's not a separation because of all this or that. But it's a separation because God said this is what he was looking for in this age. This is what God spoke to me. This was the promise that God said, that there would be a people that would be representing him, be in his image. And oh my, when a people can truly see the reality of that and it's born into them, there's something that comes over them that begins to separate them. It begins to push them away. It begins to drive them out of the not being worshiping in spirit and in truth. It begins to drive you away from taking away from what God said. And oh my, how true it is when you begin to truly see that it was God that said it and somebody else says he didn't say it. And oh my, how that begins to boil up in that little heart of the believer. But my Lord said. And oh my, how what a reality can become to the word as it begins to begin a reality that, as our brother has been bringing, trying to show us, there was a man speaking here. There was a man that spoke the words that was written down onto this page. A human lips that voiced those words. But oh my, God was said, I have come down. And I'm going to lay my people out. He called his people back out of confusion. He's called them out, and he said to separate themselves from all unbelief. Amen. And come into the land that I'm going to give you. Yes. And oh my, there's a people that's with the reality has truly seen that land's there. Amen. It's laying there just waiting. Yes. And oh my, as our brother said the other night, we're not waiting on him. He's waiting on us. But are we ready to truly get rid of anything that would hinder us? Anything trying to hold me to earthbound? Do I still want to maybe hold on to tradition? Maybe I still just don't want to let go of daddy's hand. Maybe I don't want to let go of mommy's hand. Maybe son, daughter, whoever it may be, to truly come under submission and be fully give my heart to God and to truly yield to his purpose for which he's called me. But we can't be truly blessed till you yield all the way. Full obedience to the word of God. Amen. It's got to come just like Abraham. Amen. Full obedience.
Amen. This is in the message, Broken Cisterns. And it may sound, I'm going to jump between Israel and Abraham here a little bit. Just bear with me. This is in Broken Cisterns, page, preached January 23rd, 1965, paragraph 147. We find that amongst our religious life, carnal impersonation, somebody trying to be like the other. There is only one example you're to be like, and that's like Jesus Christ, who was the Word. And then when the Word of God comes to you, it'll be the same way. But God led them right to the promised land anyhow. They found also every tank when they started through the wilderness in their journey now, after they had separated, and they found out that every tank was dry to them. They left Egypt, and even though they worked hard, they still had luxuries. They still had things to do there. That it wasn't so bad that even after they was in the wilderness for a short time, they would have been better that they'd have went back, they thought. But oh my, just listen. He says they found out that every tank was dry to them. And you'll find the same thing, brother, when you start this journey to the promised land. You'll find doors closed. Like that little preacher said, an Anglican or whatever he was, and the first thing you know, his church turned him out. See, as long as he had so many received the Holy Ghost, that was the end of it. And Israel found the same thing as examples in their journey to the promised land. The tanks were all dry. And their journey in obedience to his promised word, their journey, and the tanks they found dry, and they found the tanks could not be depended on for the journey. And if you're going to journey in obedience to the word of God and try to join this and join that, you're going to find out there ain't a tank in the world that will support it. Not at all. You are an individual, and God leads you just the way he wants to lead you. And then when we have found the same thing today, all the tanks are dried up. But the promise are always true. To God, who will keep his promise to his people, he promised to supply all they had need of. And so he did that. In the midst of empty, dry tanks, just think of it. Amen. I remember a time the tank was getting mighty dry. But oh, thank God for the movement of the Holy Spirit. And a call into our heart to follow me. There's another rung. There's another step in life that you've got to take. But God's still calling to his people. We may not be big in number. The bride may be scattered all over this earth. We know that. And that little bride may not be able to be together in big numbers. But God's watching over each individual that he has called and asked, come and follow me. And he's feeding those individuals. And that's why you can't go just because somebody else is going. You can't depend on what brother so-and-so says it's the way it is. But what has God said to you? What's he revealing to you? What promise can you see that God has spoke to your heart and said, come, follow me? He says, but God will keep his promise to his people. He promised to supply all they have need of, and he did that. In the midst of empty, dry tanks, just think of it, and complaining Israel in the desert in their journey, he called his servant leader, prophet Moses, out to one side and opened a fountain of living water by a smitten rock so his believing children would not perish. And in this day, that speaks of grace to me. We are undeserving the way we've done. The way we've lived, we're undeserving. But God, in this day, like right here this morning, look to Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Catholic, all, he has opened up a fountain. Hebrews 13 proves us that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it makes it true. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And it was lifted up for a compound reason, because the people were murmuring and sinning, and they were snake-bitten, and they were dying, and the forgiveness of their sins and the healing of their sickness. And that's the same fountain that's open to us today for our salvation, for our healing, physical healing. For he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh my, I want you to think of that. He provided a way. Yes. In a desert land, dry, thirsty, barren. Maybe they felt like there was nothing out there. He provided manna from heaven for them to eat. Yes. Give them water from a rock that satisfied their every thirst. I want you to think about it, saints. It may look like we're walking through some mighty dry times right now. This old world's looking dark and bleak and turning. Not only is the natural world falling apart, but the world's falling apart spiritually. Yes. And we see it fading away, but God said he'd have a bride that would not fail. Amen.
And there's going to be a people rise to the scene. And they're drinking from that rock, that ever-present water in the time of need. And he's there supplying every need for them. He's there to meet whatever they've got need of. He's right there all the time. They're not in need. And it's not a burden to be separated to the Lord. But oh, it's with joy and there's thanksgiving in their heart that they can see that, thank God, you're meeting me. You've led me this far, Lord, and I know you'll take me the remainder of the way. Amen. He's caring for us. And oh my, if you can just see in this age, in the bleakness and the darkness of time, and truly see that God has took the time to reveal to you his word personally, not just be in a congregation where the word's coming, but God's revealing to you personally this word. There's something getting a hold in your life, something that's holding you steadfast, keeping you in tune. It don't matter what's said over here, what bushes rattled over there, but there's something down in your heart that you know that what God said's the truth. Oh, man, you don't want to see anyone tear it down. Amen. Amen. This is in the message, look. Kind of jump back over to Abraham for a minute. And this was preached April 28, 1963. Amen. Page 14, paragraph 93. You say, seeing is believing. You can never be a Christian if you believe that. For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You cannot be a Christian and have to see the thing. The whole armor of God is supernatural. Love, joy, peace, faith, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness, and the Holy Ghost. It's all unseen. And the Christian doesn't look to what he sees with his eyes. He looks to what he sees with his faith. And faith can only be based upon one thing, and that's the word. Amen. Now, I feel like a shouting Baptist, yes, sir. When you get to that word, and that's the living thing, that's the word. When your mind and eyes can be single to that word and focus in so that you see exactly what God is doing, what a wonderful thing. Focused into the word, not what somebody said over here, well, I think somebody meant that, I think he could have meant this, but focused into the word and realized that God was speaking to you. Amen. Abraham saw it, and he did not look to any of the misunderstandings of the promise. What if he would have looked and said, here I am, 75 years old, and such voice spoke to me and said I'm to have a baby by my wife. She's 65 years old, about 15, 20 years past menopause. What would he have done? There ain't no changing of the soul. What if you look to that? Oh my, what if there ain't no rapture? What if we're already in the millennium? What if you look to these things? But that wasn't the promise God laid down. Oh my, focus into what God said and let God's word be the truth and every man's will be a lie. Amen. Amen. He says, what would he have done? But what did he do? He never paid any attention to what the natural things was. He looked at what God said. It becomes such a reality to him till he didn't see nothing else but what God said. He left his home, separated himself from all unbelief, anything that would try to pull him away. He separated himself so he could walk alone. And oh my, how you can see God's done that in our past, in our lives, different places. Maybe he had to really drag me out of the world to separate me. Something may have had to happen to pull me out. Maybe I was in a church and I'm following what I thought was right, but God come down and said, there's another way. Maybe I was in this denomination and God come down and said, oh no, you got to go this route. But God come down and drove a separating wedge. And he pulled and he called and he's drawn us from it. And there's no longing to go back to what we had. There's no longing to turn back now. But in our hearts there's a goal in mind and we can see the end in sight and there's a longing burning and dwelling up within. Lord, help me to see every word just the way you wanted me to see it. Amen. Amen. It ought to burn down inside of us as our brothers bring in this renewing our minds to who the prophet truly was, how it ought to speak to our hearts who spoke to us and how it ought to reassure my heart that I know whom I believed. Amen. Oh my. I wasn't just got my faith in some flesh human being, but my faith is in the God that created this world and put the stars above. Amen. And what he has said has always come to pass. Every promise he has made. Go back and read those scriptures. He said he would bring them out of Egypt with a strong and mighty hand. And he'd done it. He told Abraham he'd have a son. And he had it. Just right according to those scriptures. And every one of them's come to pass. And by God's grace, I know without a shadow of a doubt that the rest of it's going to finish up just the way God said it would. Amen. Let's see here. He says, and he separated himself so he could walk alone. And that's what every genuine believer has to do. Separate yourself from these doubters and unbelievers. Walk with Christ. It's life to you. And Abraham did such a thing. And 25 years later, we find him still believing that same promise. Why? He had focused his mind to the will of God by the word of God and believed it. And if we can focus ourselves to the plan of God, to what God wants for us and what God promised us, and let everything else alone, no matter how long it is, just keep believing. Romans 4, here we find Romans 4:14. It said, and he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He didn't let unbelief contaminate him at all. He looked to one thing, and that was the voice that spoke to him. And that's what the church ought to do today, is look to that one thing, the voice, the word of God that speaks to us, the church. Look to the word of God that speaks to us. Churches and people can speak anyway, but look to the voice. Where are we looking at? He looked to the voice that spoke to him, and he called everything contrary to that voice as though it wasn't. And yet materially it was far out of focus as the world was at Noah's time was. It was just as far out of focus. Because why? Noah's time? They couldn't prove there was rain up there. They couldn't prove, but Noah knew that if God said so, he was able to put rain up there. And I believe he meant to say they could tell that there wasn't rain up there. But he said he knew Noah was able to put rain up there. And Abraham knew that his body was as good as dead. But he considered not his own body. Amen. Don't consider the circumstances of this life. Don't consider your raising, where maybe you was born, what you've been in. Maybe you come through the mud and Satan tries to drag that back down on you. But Jesus Christ's blood's laying there fresh and clean. For those that is truly he's called, he washed them white as snow. Amen. Perfect, justified, glorified in his sight. Oh my, we had to come this route, but he saw. Glory to his name. He said because they could prove their rain wasn't up there, but Noah knew that if God said so, he was able to put rain up there. And Abraham knew that if his body was as good as dead, but he considered not his own body. He considered not the deadness of Sarah's womb, a young girl he had married his half-sister and lived with here all these years. And now she's 90 years old and he's 100 years old. But he didn't even think about that. That didn't even come in his mind. Why? He had focused out all unbelief out. Oh, glory, he says. Amen. And oh, my, how we ought to. Maybe we need a healing. Maybe we need something from God. Maybe we need to go to prayer and focus out all the things we've heard in the past. Amen. Maybe go to God and say, Lord, maybe I've misunderstood some of them. Maybe I thought I had a revelation of just saying, by your stripes I'm healed. Lord, that was enough. But go to God in prayer and let God reveal to you. Oh my, and watch God move on the scene to prove that he is the God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever to you. Amen. Everybody wants to do great signs and wonders, but that just raises and puffs them kind of people up. It gives glory to man, but oh my, when God can move down in the heart of a little elect and do something in their life for themselves, that God by revelation revealed to them and see them get a healing, see something overcome, see something passed out of their life, they know it was God that done it for them. And oh my, what kind of greatness it can blow up in your heart. And who gets the praise then? God does. Amen. When he can see that you saw that he truly worked whatever happened in your life. Hallelujah. But oh my, we're living in a time, saints, where God is still God. Amen. We may see many things go on around us. Satan will rattle bushes. But oh my, God's still with us. Amen. I want you to listen here now as I read this. This is in the way of a true prophet. And this was preached January 19th, 1963. And you sisters can come to the instruments if you would, please. He says, this is on page 22. Look, when Israel was on its road off into the promised land, led by the Holy Ghost, a pillar of fire was before them and a smitten rock followed them. And there come Moab out, which was a brother. Remember, he was part of Israel too. He was as part as from the Jewish descent, because it was Lot's child by his daughter and brought out Moab. And look at Balaam, the priest, came out there and made an altar and offered the same kind of sacrifices, just as fundamental as he could be, see? And he had celebrity with him, and he had the king, and he had all the great men and the princes and the eunuchs standing with him. But there was one standing with Moses that he didn't see, and that's who stood with Amos. And that's who will stand with every person that's here tonight that'll stand for God and righteousness. No matter how much potentates and monarchs there is, doesn't have one thing to do with it. They'll never be able to curse what God has blessed. Why? It's a living seed. It's a word of God. It'll grow to its perfection. Amen. Oh, the signs of the living God in the camp that's looked like that Israel had done wrong down there. But they failed to see that smitten rock and that atonement being made for Israel. Yeah. And there was a shout of the king in the camp. God was with him. Why? He was healing the sick and doing great miracles and signs, wonders, pillar of fire hung over them. And Moses was following that pillar of fire, and the children of Israel was following Moses. And they were on their road to the promised land, and nothing was going to stop them. Amen. But I want you to remember that nobody saw the one that was standing with William Marion Branham when he was here either. Amen. A lot of people saw William Marion Branham, but they didn't see the one that was standing there. Amen. But by God's grace, we have seen who God is. Amen. He's been revealed. We know who spoke to us. Amen. We know why we do what we do. Why I follow and why I read what I read and study what I study. And why the decisions of my life is to follow this. And oh my, if you still don't know for a fact and have an assuredness in your heart that this was God speaking to you, then cry out to God. That oh my, we've started in this, but let's make sure we're wholeheartedly following the Lord Jesus Christ. We've separated and left all else behind us. And we're not turning back. We're not trying to hold on and drag something from Egypt with us. But separate yourself to the Lord and watch God move into your life like you've never seen Him move before. Oh my, He's still God, and He's still here to manifest and vindicate every promise that He's made to us. But oh my, are we willing to put Him and let Him prove Himself through us? Amen. May the Lord bless you. Let's all stand if you would. Amen. I pray you was able to follow along, get a little something from it. But you know, we're living in a time, saints, where you can see the word separating. Not a man-made separation, but God is truly separating His little elected few. And how you can see that separating taking place and how we must be getting closer and closer to the end. As you can see, it's being made manifest. The fruit's in the top of the tree. And it's becoming evident. It's so obvious. It used to be like it seemed like it was really, really close to some of us. And maybe we didn't quite know where we stood. And we don't really know about this, but God's word has never failed to keep coming. Amen. Keep revealing Himself. Keep opening our understanding and opening our eyes to see the age in which we're living. And seeing what God's doing and trying to pull us into. But I thank God that He brought me in. Amen. Look out yonder where I could have been. But oh, I thank God He brought me in. Amen. He is so wonderful. Don't you love Him? Amen. He's so precious. Hallelujah. Anyone got a course on your heart? Amen. Glory to His name. Amen. Amen. Yes, dear Lord. Too many miles behind me. Too many trials are through. There's too much.
much to gain to lose.
Yeah, it kind of tells the story, doesn't it? Amen. Across the hot burning desert, being all alone, struggling the right road to choose. Somewhere up ahead, there's cool, clear water. And defeat is one word I just will not use. Amen. Too many sunsets lie beyond the mountains. Glory. It's so wonderful, saints, that these little songs can match what experiences you've had in your heart, in your life. I appreciate it. Amen. So thankful for the word tonight. Amen. I can see that, you know, every time you go back to the word, if that's the thing of it is, if you're in the word and Christ is living a life in your, through your tabernacle, when that word comes forth, you'll be able to see it lines up every time. Every time. And you can see what God is doing, what he's done in your life, how he's moving you. And you know, you may think, well, you know, when it comes to separation, you may think, well, what, why would I have to not have very many people? You know, you think a lot of people in this message, they've just got all kinds of thousands they fellowship with no problem. And you realize how much fellowship we could have? If I just stood up behind this pulpit and I'd tell people, you know, I know you don't believe this, but let's fellowship. I'll tell you what, you forgive me and I'll come under the rule of your king and we'll have fellowship. You realize the fellowship we could have? But you realize the death we'd go into?
Amen.
I've come too far, friends,
amen,
to turn back to that. There's too much to gain now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Too many sunsets lie behind the mountain. Too many rivers my feet have walked through. Too many treasures are waiting over yonder, and there's too much to gain to lose. Sing that chorus again. Too many sunsets lie behind the mountain. Too appreciate him. Amen. Won't you sit down for a moment? I'm going to read you something. Just felt led to do it. For some reason, I picked this little book up and brought it with me. I just feel led to read this. And by no means don't you forget anything what Brother Timothy brought tonight. And I don't want this to sidetrack you. But I want everyone to listen. So we'll help the right one. You see? And this is in the message, and knoweth it not. And remember when I read this, you know, sometimes in those hot burning deserts, we kind of forget about some things. Maybe it seems like things are just a little bit too hard for us. And then there's those times that come we don't understand, why does this have to happen? Why is it me that has to go through this?
why is it that I have to have this happen in my life? I want you to listen to this, what the prophet's saying. Y'all remember Brother Branham talking about him when he's young. And after the great flood in the 30s and the sicknesses that went throughout the land. And his little daughter, Sharon Rose, his wife, his daddy. All this happened in just a short few days. I want you to listen to this. He says, my little baby, laying there dying. I've read this before, but it's been a few years ago, but there's a reason for it tonight. My wife is lying yonder in the morgue. His wife just passed away. Embalmed and laid out. They called me out there, and now Sharon was dying. It was his little baby, little girl. That's the hardest temptation I ever met in my life. I was about 25 years old. I walked out there, and Billy Paul lying at the point of death also. And Dr. Sam came and said, Bill, I don't think we're going to save Billy. He said, he's so bad. Bill, I feel so sorry for you. And he put his arms around me. And I said, Doc, I ain't got no more strength. A couple of hours calling for my baby and Sharon run here and there. He skips here a little bit. He says, just to see her in spasms. It wouldn't stop. They put a needle in the spine and punctured it and brought the sign up. It was tuberculosis meningitis. I weaved my way out to the hospital and stopped my old truck out there and got out there and started walking down the room. Here came Sam down the hall with his hat in his hand. That was the doctor. And crying. And he put his arm around me and he said, come on back, Bill. I see Brother Brandon was going down to see little Sharon. I said, what's the matter? He said, you can't see her. She's dying, Bill. I said, no, Sam, not my baby. He said, yeah? He said, don't even ask for her, Bill. If she would ever live, she would be afflicted. She would always be drawled up, and she would be afflicted all of her life. He said, she's got meningitis. Don't go around or you'll just kill Billy by doing it. I said, Sam, I've got to see her. He said, you can't do it, Bill. I forbid you. You know how much I think of you. You're my buddy and everything, and how much I think of you and how much I believe you. Bill, but don't go to that baby. But if you do that, that meningitis is on her, and she'll be gone in a few minutes, and we'll bury her. Bill, I just feel so sorry for you. And he called the nurse over and gave me some kind of a medicine. He said, I don't see how the man's standing up. I stood there a little bit, and he brought the medicine in, and I set it down in the hall. He said, and the nurse said, I want you to drink this, Brother Branham. I said, thank you. Just set it down there a minute. And when she left, I poured it over in that spit tune and set the glass back down. I said, oh, God, what have I done? You're a good God. Why did you let her die, letting me hold her, those two little arms like that, and begging him for her? Why did you let her go? And there's Billy laying there dying. And she's dying. What have I done? Tell me. Well, I might as well go with him, he says. I opened up the door, and no nurse was there, and I skipped down the basement. And that was before the hospital was fixed. Screen, no screens on the windows, hardly. Flies on her little eyes. Had a piece of mesquite bar. We caught a netting, put over her face. And I shooed the flies off and laid there. And her little eyes, she was suffering so hard. Till they were crossing. Then Satan moved up by the side of me. And there he said, did you say he was a good God? I said, yeah, I said that. Did you say he was a healer? Well, why did your father die in your arms over there? And you called him a sinner, calling for his life. Why did your brother die in your other brother's arms out there? And you stand in the pulpit preaching a few weeks ago, and then why didn't he answer you? You said he loved you and he saved you. You couldn't tell me there's no God because I already seen him. But he was telling me he didn't care for me. He said, there lays your wife and your babies will be there pretty soon. Your daddy's buried. Your brother's buried. Your wife's going to be buried now, tomorrow. And here's your other baby dying. He's a good God. He's a healer. You made a sap out of yourself, he said. What did it do? It was working from the outside now to the first man. Now he's talking about the flesh, spirit, and soul. Okay. He said, now look, you know when you were in a few years ago, about 2 or 3 years ago, before you accepted this, you were well thought of amongst the people. You lived a good, clean life. And any girl in the city that wanted to go out with you, wanted to go out with you because they felt clean and decent. He said, and I can stand before any of them and never insulted one of them, he said. Never said anything. He said, if she even acted smart, I'd take her home. And you were liked amongst the people. But what are you now? A religious fanatic. That's right. I was. See, these things begin to move together. And the outside reasoning and the spirit moving these things together. That's right, Satan. Then did you say he was a healer? And you begging and crying and the people telling you that it wasn't so, that you're all off the line. And your own turns out, he said, and your own turns you out for this. And your own Baptist church down there puts you out the door for the very same cause. Remember what he was preaching about? Separation? Yeah. Your daddy buried and your brother's buried. Your wife is laying there to be buried. And here's your baby just about 15 minutes longer, and she'll be gone. And he's a healer? Your own flesh and blood, one word from him would save the baby's life. He's the healer, you said. And the people tried to tell you, their preachers told you, you were all messed up and you're all insane. You become a religious fanatic, and you said that he loved you. Could he really love you? And how you cried for your daddy, how night after night you fasted, daytime, and how you fasted night after night, and daytime when you'd have to pray to get up a pole to work. That's when he worked for the power company. He let him die in your own arms, a sinner. Like that. Let his own daddy die in his own arms, a sinner. And how your wife, what a fine woman she was, and how you loved her. That's Billy's mother. Many of you remember Hope. What a fine girl she was. How happy you were. Your little home over here with the $7 or $8 worth of furniture. He said, and what furniture you had, but yet you loved her. You loved one another. You said you went to pray for others and some mental emotion, though, and you got up and walked away and said that they were all right. But now look at your own life. And there she is dead, second day, now laying in the undertaker's establishment down there, Scott and Combs. And he's a healer. Huh? Your little boy is at the point of death, Billy Paul, 18 months old, and your little girl, 8 months old, is lying there dying with meningitis, and you just prayed, and God pulled a sheet down and said, shut up. I don't want to hear you at all. Turned his back on you, and he's a good God. And he loves you. Every girl you ever went with, every boy you ever associated with, your very best friends have walked away from you as a religious fanatic. Everything he was telling me was the truth. Everything that he would say would fall right in line. I was just then about ready to say, well, if that's the way he has to act, then I won't serve him. But just as I said that, there was something came from somewhere else. Way down on the inside, said, who are you to begin with? The Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Hallelujah. See, that's the inside man. It don't reason at all. I looked back and I thought, how did I get here on earth? I came from a bunch of drunkards. How did I get here? Who gave me a life? Or said, who gave me life? Who gave me that wife I had? Who gave me that baby? Where did my wife come from? Where did my life come from? I said, though he slay me, I'll trust him. I said, get away from me, Satan. I laid my hand on that baby. And I said, Sharon, honey, I'll lay you on your mother's arms in a few minutes. When the angels of God will come and take you away. But one day Daddy will see you again. I don't know how it's going to be. You may not know how a lot of things is going to be, but God's already got it in control. Hallelujah. Do you trust him?
Amen.
Like this prophet did? Though you slay me, I'll trust you, Lord. Hallelujah. He says, honey, I can't tell you how. And when he sits there and turns his back on me, won't even hear for you. He said, he let my wife die, and me holding her by the hands and crying for her. And my daddy in his arms died in his arm, right? He said, my daddy in his arms died on this arm right here, looking up at me and trying to get his breath. I prayed as hard as I could. How could I face the public again? I preached divine healing. How could I preach he was a good God and let my own daddy die a sinner? How could I preach that? I don't know how, but I knew he was right. Hallelujah. The word of God shall never fail.
Amen.
Amen. It'll triumph no matter what it is. And then I knew there was something on the inside, see? Something inside of all these emotions and everything else like that. There was an inside man that held me in that hour. Nothing else could have done it. Every reason, everything that they showed, everything proven, it was wrong. And I was in the wrong. But the word of God was the predestined. He said, but the word of God was predestinated before the foundation of the world, and it held on the inside. Hallelujah. And I felt a little wind come through the building, and her spirit went to meet the Lord, little Sharon Rose. I think, you know, we would go through some things. But is there something on the inside that'll hold, regardless what it is? Things that we may not understand. Why does it happen to happen like it does? But thank God for something holding on the inside. Amen. And saints, we may go through some really hard times, some rough times, before the Lord Jesus comes. There may be some real times of sorrow we have to go through. But friends, remember, you've come too far now to turn back, like Brother Timothy said. There's too much to gain to lose. Yes. Regardless what happens, I trust that little inside, that little wheel in the middle of the wheel, will hold us steady, regardless what it is. I'm so glad that I serve a living God. Hallelujah. Amen. Too many miles, friend, my feet have walked. Too many rivers went through. Too many hard trials. But I wouldn't take nothing for it. I wouldn't take nothing in the world for what God is doing for me. It's so beautiful. Amen. I just want to keep changing. Only keep conforming to the image of his son. So I'll do everything exactly how God would do it. Now remember, we read here just a minute ago, and Brother Timothy read tonight, of what the prophet did. Remember what the word said. The prophets are the word of God manifested. Yes. The prophets are the word of God manifested. Yes. What about us now? Will we be able to do it through the hard times, the sad times, times of sorrow? Oh, hallelujah. Nobody said it'd be easy. No. But one thing about it, thank God we've got somebody holding on to us. It's like the little footprints in the sand. Oh, my. It may look at times like we're all by ourselves. When we looked at them footprints in the sand, there was only one set. We might have first thought it was just ours. How rough it was going through and how hard it was. But we had to realize it was Jesus Christ carrying us. Amen. We wouldn't even know to walk without him. No, it was him walking for us. Amen. So let's stand again now and let's close and let's sing this chorus one more time. Too many sunsets. Well, start me on that. I start that wrong. Too many sunsets lie behind the mountains. Too many rivers my feet have walked through. Too many treasures are waiting. Too much to gain, to lose. Sing that first verse again. Too many miles behind me. Too many trials are through. Too many tears help me to remember there's too much to gain to lose. Too many sunsets lie behind the mountain. Too many rivers my feet have walked through. Too many treasures are waiting over yonder. And there's too much to gain to lose. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night. Thank you for the word our brother brought. Lord, how we can see it so true in this hour and day in which we live. Lord, it's not a time to be despondent. It's not a time to be discouraged. But it's a time, Lord, to be encouraged to press like we never have before. As Apostle Paul said, I press to the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Oh God, there's a great calling. There's a great place to reach. And Lord, there's only one way that we'll get there. And that's through you. And we thank you for what you've done for us, Lord. Thinking about these things, Lord, tonight, we see that you brought us through many, many things in life. Many times, Lord, you know my life. I've cried. I've begged you. And fasted. And waited. And Lord Jesus, many tears. There was many hot deserts that was crossed. Many times of dying out. Mortifying the deeds of the body. But through it all, Lord, oh God, it's been worth it all. And Lord, now we're looking for a city, not made by man, but Lord, a city where the Lamb is the light. And Lord Jesus, it won't be long. And Father, we're longing for it in our hearts. Keep us all encouraged, Lord. Help us keep our eyes on the goal. Let us see the vision, Lord. For a people without a vision perish. And Lord Jesus, keep that vision fresh in front of us. For one day we'll lay this old life down. And there won't be no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more trials. It'll all be behind us. And Lord, what a day that'll be. I know, Lord, by your mercy and grace, I'll be one of them. You'll come around that great table, Lord. And you'll wipe the tears from my eyes. For what we are here, that's what we'll be there. And Lord, many times I cry just thinking about it. Lord Jesus, I love you. May you bless these people. Strengthen them. Encourage them. Give us revelation, Lord. Give us that rapturing revelation. Oh, God, that will be caught up in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Thank you, Lord. Go with us now, and we ask you just bring us back. If you tarry, Lord, bring us back the next appointed time. And just all of us together, Lord, speak on all their behalf. We love you, Lord. We love you with all our heart. Help us to be better Christians, better soldiers, Lord, for you. In your precious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. I love him. He's precious. May God richly bless you. Amen. And pray. Pray like you've never prayed before. Give your whole heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Young people, forget about life. Remember Him first. Seek Him first. Don't be seeking the world, seeking what you gain in life. Seek Him first, and He will give you what you have need of. Amen. Love Him with all your heart. Middle age, old. You old. You may not be with us much longer. Amen. But remember this. If you go before we do, we'll meet again. Amen. Amen. Glory. Oh, love Him, saints, with all your heart. Things can happen quickly. Amen. May God bless you. Stay on the firing line. I hate to let you go, friends. Somehow on the inside, I just feel like the time is running out. It's running out. It's running empty. Are we where we need to be? Oh, God, deal with our hearts. Every one of us. Amen. God bless you. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you, Lord.